Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Nice to have your company, Michael Chamis, MG, Tony Squires with you. And Friday, 7.45 kickoff, New South Wales taking on Queensland, the women's state of origin at beautiful Sunshine Coast Stadium. A man who's helping guide along the New South Wales side alongside coach Kylie Hilder is Jeff Tuvey, and he joins us right now. G'day, Tuves.
G'day, guys. Good to be with you.
How's it all going for this game? It should be terrific up there. Haven't won, I don't think, New South Wales in terms of winning that series and Queensland, so a lot to play for.
Oh, a lot to play for, but the girls are really confident. We've had a couple of good training sessions the last couple of days. We're not on until next Friday, so we'll only get better.
So as the women's game has come along in leaps and bounds. It's fantastic. I even think that we're going to get to a stage where we have our more participation in our WNRL competition, more girls in that, maybe even a Monday night fixture. We need to see more eyes on this. And this will be a ratings bonanza. The girls are really professional now. How have they been in camp thus far?
Well, it's been fantastic. And, you know, unlike the boys, the girls or the women, they actually listen to what you say. they actually want to learn and they want to put into practice what you're telling them, which is, you know, fantastic from a coach's point of view. So it's much different than the men's, yeah.
So as I heard, you brought the whistle out, the one you had at Bradford or so. You pulled out the whistle and you've been using that at training?
I've brought out the old whistle, mate. Don't you worry about that. It gets plenty of air time. Bit intimidating. But my fellow compatriot, who's a strength and conditioner, Glenn Hall, who I played under me as a coach as well, he's a strength and conditioner. He reckons he's got a bigger whistle than me. Anyway, I'm blowing mine harder.
Two good sides. Obviously, Kezzy Apps for New South Wales, injury free at the moment, so she should have an impact.
Oh, without a doubt, we've got some great halves in Maddie Studden and Corbin Baxter. So, look, we've got an exciting back line, so I think you'll see plenty of ball movement. Our forwards are well and truly matched theirs, I think, but I think you'll see our girls really shine out wide in the back line.
They also, sorry, MG, Queensland, they have that creativity in there. Anybody who follows the game, Ali Brigginshaw has been a sensation over the years, obviously in the halves a lot, but I think she played in the grand final last year at the number 13, and she's 13 again now, so she has that creativity in the lock position.
Well, she definitely has. I mean, she's the main and senior player, I suppose. She's their, not Andrew Johns at the side, but she's the key player. We haven't studied their game too much yet, but obviously we'll have some, we'll have a lot of protection, a lot of defence around her.
Yeah, I like Millie Boyle as a front rower. She goes great. And also your dummy half, Keely Davis, two to watch for when you tune into this on Friday night.
Oh, without a doubt. And they're prime to go. That they're really, we're speaking about attacking football. The girls are very good at, as I said, defensively. They're old traditional style tacklers, that sort of stuff. But in attack, we're gonna really move the ball. We're gonna really try and test the Queensland defence. I thought last year's game was a bit. We played sort of probably below par where we're capable of. And I think New South Wales just said a lot of expansion, and we'll get the ball to our key players out wide.
Tubbs, you mentioned Maddie starting a little bit earlier. She's in the number 7. She was dropped last year. She played well a couple of years ago, dropped last year, and back into the team this year. How's she bounced back from that?
Yeah, really good. Like I went and we picked the game out of the City Country game. We picked the team out of that, and she was by far, I think, the outstanding halfback. So she really picked herself in the team. We couldn't deny that, and I think she's better for it. I think, you know, emotionally and mentally, she's much harder now than she was a couple of years ago.
Obviously, you've got your head in that game as we speak to us, but what about this weekend in the NRL sin-binning dramas once again?
Look, as I said, I've said it on Fox before. I mean, I think we've just gone too far with rule changes, and I'm a bit of a probably an old fuddy daddy, but I mean, the whole six to go, and then you're in the sin bin. It's just probably a bit too much, too early. I think we've just changed the game too much.
Jake Trbojevic, your old Manly boy, out of State of Origin 2.
Really?
Yeah.
You hurt his hip yesterday at training.
What? Yeah. Well, there you go. You've like bring the news to me. I've been locked down in camp with the girls. I don't know what's going outside the world. I tell you what, I don't know how long he's out, but New South Wales should be able to compensate for him there, but I don't know if Manly will be able to.
But just on Manly and the Trbojevic's too, is when you were coach there and young Tom was coming through, was the talk around him that he was going to be as special as he is, or has he surprised you?
It didn't surprise me, but if you had the determination as your brother who was already there, Jake, but he's a completely obviously different athlete than Jake, but there was always the aura around him that he was going to be something special, and it was just a matter of him giving him enough time and not putting too much pressure on him. But I think he just eats up the pressure. He loves it. I mean, pick him in the side and he's going to perform. He's never succumbed to any pressure. So I think he's a fantastic athlete. He's just got to stop racing people down the Corso.
Also some big news while you've been locked down there. It's Clive Palmer's now the Prime Minister.
Oh, what? Clive, you're doing a great job.
MG,
you're Prime Minister, we'll all be going to New Zealand.
Jeff Toovey, thanks so much. Good luck with the New South Wales women's team.
Thanks, guys. Go the Blues.
Go your Toos. Go on your buddy.
Is Jeff Toovey. Plenty to come, including playing a game called Believe It or Not, the Saturday's Scrum.
Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Remember, you can now stream every game of the NRL and AFL live on the Listener app. Download it now, LISTNR. The Mark Hughes Foundation. Gee, last night, just from at Penrith, the number of beanies. It was the perfect weather. If you hadn't bought a beanie from the Mark Hughes Foundation, that was the right time to do it. It was the crowd. It was so many. It was fantastic. A great job is being done all around. Time for this.
Believe it or not.
George isn't at home. All right, this is a very tough view, Michael Chambers. Believe it or not, I've got three questions. Each of them, the degree of difficulty is quite high. let's start with Tommy Trbojevic. Believe it or not, Michael, Tom Trbojevic is now a better fullback than James Tedesco.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this. If you asked me at the start of the year, I thought, I would have been on something to suggest such a thing. But he's overtaken him. The way his influence on a game is just incredible. And that performance in Origin was one of the most dominant individual performances we've seen in a long time. It was Jared Hayne-esque in 14 when they won the series New South Wales. So I believe it.
You don't swap him, put him in number one for the Blues?
No, can't. Because I don't think Tedesco can do what Tom Trbojevic does in that position. I think Tom Trbojevic is now that position going forward. Even, I get James Tedesco is the way he injects himself into a game, Tom. I don't think there is any player in the game who can do that.
Extraordinary.
Just let him do what he wants. Put him in number 13, doesn't matter.
MG?
Tedesco's done some amazing, amazing things over the course of the last 4 or 5 years individually, and there's no wonder he's been the best player in the comp for a long time, but I think I agree with Chamo here. I think he's overtaking him as a fullback. I actually think he's, on his day, he's the best player I've ever seen for what he does. I've watched them all, back in the 70s and Bobby Fulton Marty Beetson was one of the guys I loved as individually, but Joey Johns, you mentioned all of them, JT, Cameron Smith. I think on his day, there's no better rugby league player I've ever seen. I just think he's so destructive. He's so big, so fast, so skillful. He's got a great rugby league IQ that he sees things two or three, he's like a halfback. He sees things two or three tackles before it happens. So, Tommy Turbo is magnificent. I touch wood, if his hemis just don't let up on him for the next couple of years, he's going to be the number one player by a mile.
Wow.
By a mile.
How far are we from conversation in regards to Tedesco and Trbojevic in line of the best fullback of all time. For me, Billy Slater, number one fullback.
Slater still got it, yeah.
What needs to happen in the next few years for the conversation to start or change?
It's got to be origin domination, where Slater just kind of started on the wing. He scored that try that he was offside for anyway. But Billy just dominated at Origin. He dominated for the Storm. He reinvented himself after injury. Billy is number one. But I'm telling you what, Tedesco and Turbo over the next couple of years, if they can sustain the same type of form that they're in, they'll be in the conversation.
All right, our second believer. Now, believe it or not, this is in light of what's been going on. The bunker is in a better position to rule on high contact than the referees. They've certainly been getting the advice from the bunker. What do you think, MG?
Look, the referee's there on the field. I know the bunker, after the fact, is obviously, you know, like us at home. We see it after the fact on slow-mo and everything. And the referees, when you get there, you get a feel for the game and you kind of – that's why I think referees – are jumping the shadows. They, like the players. The players must be thinking before a game, man, like they're going through the ritual and then they're thinking, well, I don't want to be simming because that could cost us two or three tries. And the referees are very much similar. They're thinking, okay, well, if I don't simbin this guy here, am I going to... The bunker's got ample time but to have a look at things. So to answer the question, I think the referee's in the best position to do instant type of rulings. The bunker... is just slowing the game down. And as Chemo said very early in the show today, if you're not going to get suspended, if it's not a suspendable act on the field, well, it should just be on report and get on with it, get a fine, whatever. But at the moment where we're seeing too many teams lose players at crucial times and then the other team gets the ascendancy while that player's off for 10 minutes, a sin binning these days is literally 12 points to the other team, just about. It's at least six. So let's maybe think about having a 5 minute sin bin.
It's interesting, and it's so tough. I mean, the AFL is going through the same issues of how they protect their head. Yeah, they had a case last week when, and not obviously there's no send up or sin binning, where a jaw was broken in a contact, and it was the same thing that it was decided, and they was sent straight to the tribunal, so he would have got 4 to 6 weeks. Yep. And the decision was that he was not guilty because he had eyes on the ball, and he then just turned to protect himself at the moment, just before the moment of impact.
That was pivotal time for the AFL. If they suspended that guy,
yep,
for that hit, and poor bugger who broke his jaw, that's, you know. We feel for him, but yeah, there's no way in the world that he meant to do that.
David McKay is the guy who did the...
Yeah, there was
the
no bump. Intent. Yeah. They're both going for a ball. They both had eyes on the ball. And then there again, accidents happen in any sport.
So the bunker is in a better position to rule on high contact than the referee, Michael Chambers, believe it or not.
I believe it with a clause inserted into the contract.
Okay.
I don't think... as we said, I think the bunker can intervene as long as they're coming back with a rule that says you're going to the sin bin. If it's just to enforce a penalty that they've missed, then no, stay out of it. If it's serious enough that warrants a sin binning, then interject. But the problem isn't the fact that the bunker is interjecting. It's the people in the bunker getting the wrong decisions. Like last night with Reece Robson and obviously with Takiaho as well.
That Reece Robson, that has come back, though, has the NRL said it was wrong?
Yeah, the NRL said that, they will say on Tuesday that it was wrong, that he shouldn't have been sent to the sin bin. He should have been penalty sufficient, put on report, and he only got a, I don't even think he was charged, so.
No.
Yeah. Like they did with Kobe Hetherington the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he got sent off.
Yeah. Well, exactly. But I think the referee thought it was Jack, who has history.
Yes. Yeah, if your name's Hetherington, look out. Kobe, change your name, mate. Just call yourself Heather.
Believe it or not, Michael Chambers, the Bulldogs... Oh, I cannot believe this is a believe it or not. The Bulldogs will challenge for a premiership sooner than the Dragons.
Well, why's your bottom lip quivering?
I know.
It's quivering because he knows it's true. He believes it. And as another Dragons fan sitting here, I believe it too. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I spent a day with Steve Hansen and the Bulldogs earlier in the week. And just
impressive
see,
human.
Impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah.
He's got this aura about him when he talks to people.
For those who don't know,
listen.
He was coach of the All Blacks, an amazing record as All Blacks coach.
Through their prime. Yeah, through their prime.
And Trent Barrett spent, when he got sacked from Manly, Trent Barrett spent some time with the All Blacks and got to know Steve Hansen. And when he got the job with the Bulldogs, one of the first people he called was Hansen and said, mate, can I have you as my advisor? And Hansen came over to Australia last week, and maybe coincidence, maybe not, but a few days into his trip here with the Bulldogs that they pull off a win against the Dragons. And just being around the team over the course of the day and seeing the influence of Steve Hansen and Trent Barrett. I believe Trent Barrett's a good football coach. I believe his relationship with his players, which is often criticised. People say he's too close to his players, that line is blurred. I think it's exactly what Canterbury need. And I think over time, with the signings of Matt Burton and Josh Adakar and potentially Sean Johnson, they'll play finals football next year. So I can't say the same about the Dragons with their recruitment. Some of them have left me scratching their head. You know, Josh Maguire, I don't think, has added much to the team. Obviously suspended at the moment. Andrew McCulloch is a 3-year deal. I just feel they didn't go hard enough at Nicho Hynes. I don't think they made him an offer. If you're going to let go of Matt Dufty, at least throw the kitchen sink at Nicho Hynes. Corey Norman's going. We've got the young kids coming through. It's, to me, the Bulldogs, when they sign it, if Sean Johnson comes with Burton and Adokar, they're ready to go next year.
Wow. Okay. MG?
Yeah. Unfortunately for you two Dragons supporters, I'm with both of you. And I know that I think it's a bit of pain on the horizon for the Drags, unfortunately.
And on the horizon, it's like it's behind us, it's around us, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I think, we're just speaking about Steve Hansen, I think, you know, speaking about Burton and Adokar and all these signings that the Bulldogs are managed to acquire, I think their best one is going to be him, Steve Hansen. I think it's a really astute signing. It's someone who's left of centre. It's a guy who, as Chamo mentions, he demands respect just when he walks in the room because of his accomplishments. And that's going to rub off. That's going to rub off on not just Trent Barrett. It's going to rub off on all the Bulldogs players, the support staff, the coaching staff, and eventually the supporters. And I think it's going to be because of this guy who's tasted unbelievable success with one of the best sporting teams that we've ever seen, the All Blacks, the conquering All Blacks of the last decade.
The next step is using him in recruitment. If you can get Steve Hansen on the phone to some of these young New Zealand guys.
And Bloody oath.
If they can get him involved. Like, look at Wayne Bennett. He just gets involved. The same with Phil Gould. If you're in conversations with those two gentlemen, you're almost signing on the spot.
All right, well done. That's one of the best Believe It or Nots we've actually ever put together. This is the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
MG, Michael Chambers, Tony Squires, just 15 minutes away from kickoff. The Knights taking on the Warriors, McDonald Jones Stadium. Right now, let's do a little bit of this action.
Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. The next big thing.
What is the next big thing? What do you see on the horizon, either today or tomorrow? Maybe it's State of Origin, I'm not sure. MG, where are you going?
I think it's this next game in 15 minutes' time between the Knights and Warriors. I think it's at a point now where loser leaves town. Finals footy is gone for you if you lose this game today, especially the Knights.
That's absolutely right. And got to, you know, with Mitchell Pearce back for the Knights is key, although Caelan Ponga had been named, but he won't play. That is huge. That's the entire game. What about you?
Mine is a couple of hours' time. I'm going to go young Tyrell Sloan, the Dragons' 19-year-old, set to make his debut. Dufty out, play at fullback. A lovely story in the Herald today. Adrian Prajenko wrote about his upbringing. Yep. His grandmother raised him. His parents ran him out of jail. Had him when he was 16 and hasn't got a lot to do with his parents at the moment, but his grandmother Colleen raised him. And look, it'd be great to see Tyrell debut with a game to remember, but also Dragons fans are sitting here wondering where to next with the fullback jersey. We might get an answer today about the next big thing.
19, he turned 19, I think, just earlier, about two, three weeks ago. He's 84 kilos. So he's got, you know, a lot of development to go, but it'll be really interesting. People have mentioned, you know, Dave Peachy, that kind of running style. I'm really keen to see how he goes this afternoon.
No pressure. There's a number one jersey up for grabs.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about it, isn't it? Matt Dufty, we know he's going to be gone. Cody Ramsey has signed for 3 years, and there's the talk about him. You kind of threw maybe even a Zach Lomax, who is out of this evening's game, by the way. He was only named on an extended bench, but he's not quite ready yet.
Yeah, I spoke to a couple of people at the club. Their options there are Ramsey, Tyrell Sloan, Jack Bird as well, who was supposed to play fullback the year at Brisbane before he did his ACL.
Yep.
And Zach Lomax, who they experimented with last year for a couple of games. It didn't work out, but perhaps he's in a better position now in his career to move back to fullback. So there's their four options. Mm. Tyrell Sloan's given first crack.
It's weird, isn't it? And look, it's It's terrible as a Dragons supporter. Last few weeks, I've been absolutely hot on the subject of Matt Dufty and saying, you know, where's, you know, why is that happening? And he has one bad game.
But that's the thing, Tone. And that one bad thing he did, that's probably unforgivable when you're on the line and you're not looking at the ball, bloke with the ball. All of a sudden, Canberra start to balk, other clubs start to balk, and maybe the game against the Broncos was a little bit of a false economy because Broncos are going that badly at the moment that if any team who plays against them in Stars, you really got to say, okay, well, it's got an asterisk next to it because they played the Broncos.
Yeah, well, they take on the Raiders today. That is the team. What was the latest? Because he visited there. Is it they looking at him as a 14?
They were interested in him, and there was obviously they watched the game last week, and their interest diminished a little bit there. And I'd spoken to people at Canberra. They perhaps said maybe we'll look at him as a 14. I don't know if Matt Dufty wants to go somewhere to be a 14, but he may not have a choice. And the other whispers that's been doing the rounds is Charles Nicol-Klokstad sort of perhaps got his nose out of joint a little bit with this talk about Matt Dufty coming here. He's coming off neck surgery, Charles. This suggestion he may be moved to the centres next year. So I heard Brisbane's name mentioned in regards to conversations with Nicol-Klokstad. But at this stage, just wait and see.
All right,
he's a player, Tone, just quickly. Yep. That when they got beat by Penrith round five, that's been the kind of the turning point. He hasn't played since then. And they really need him. He's a really good player.
Absolutely has made a huge difference. All right, as will Mitchell Pearce getting back into that number seven jumper for this game we're about to get to. And I think it's Warris Reece Walsh, of course, a young kid at fullback. And Nathan Brown, who coached the Knights, there he is back with the Warriors. It's got some great elements to it, doesn't it, MG?
Nathan Brown Cup, here we come. It's look up there, they were disappointing. They've been disappointing all year. Everyone's, you know, looking at the injury side of it, but the Roosters have had major players out all year. They still have a dig. They still come to play. If it's in your makeup, it's in your makeup. At the moment, the Knights haven't got that in their makeup. They can't dig deep there. When it hits the fan, they kind of back off. They've got a forward pack that most would die for. You know, when you put Frizzell in there, who's out injured with a syndesmosis, but the Warriors again, they're hot and cold. Fenua Blake being back is massive for them. I think he's their alpha male, and all good things come from him. He's got a great offload, he's got a quick play of the ball, and he's got a presence on the field. So I think the Warriors might get him today without Ponga.
Oh, okay, where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going with the Warriors. I think I like what they're building to. I think Nathan Brown's doing a great job, and I think there are people at Newcastle who may have made a mistake moving on Nathan Brown so quickly. So we'll wait and see how the season pans out for them.
All right. So Nathan Brown back in Newcastle, the Warriors taking on the Knights. Michael Chamis, brilliant performance once more. Thank you so much for you. MG as well. Remember, Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M's Saturday Scrum for King G. Pushing the limits in comfort, technology and design. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.